Okay, we've got a lot we want to do this morning, so let's go into prayer, preparing ourselves for a morning of worship in spirit and in truth. So let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, there's tension all over the world. In the Middle East, it seems as though weekly it gets tighter, more divisive. We know that in America, we have dropped the traditional allegiance to Christ, to your word. Things, Heavenly Father, are moving very quickly. And even unbelievers know something's got to happen. Multitude of believers are talking about the rapture of the church and the closeness of the return of Jesus Christ to earth. But Heavenly Father, until that hour comes when you call us home, it is our privilege, our responsibility, to be a witness of Christ, to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and to proclaim Him. And Father, we thank You for the opportunity to worship this morning together and all the facets of worship that we involved in. And we pray that all that we do is glorifying to You. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Brian, let's sing. That was in respect to our study on tribulation this morning. So, okay, we have several things I want to take care of this morning. But the first, for many, many, many months, We have been in prayer and conversation and prayer and conversation and talk in regard to young Thomas. And I asked Thomas if he'd just come up and say a couple of things to us, whatever is on his heart, whatever he wants to say. So, Thomas, why don't you come up and talk to us, please? Huh?
You might want to be more specific about a couple.
You can leave
it at that.
10 to 15.
Very good, Lord. Very good.
Thanks for all the prayer and support, and I'm doing really good now, probably because of that, and I'm just really thankful that I get to come back here now instead of just being stuck at home. Get to do a couple of things, pretty much church and occasional outside band activities are just it, and, but the doctor says I'm doing really, really good, so just keep up prayer for just doing, staying healthy and not getting sick, and I should be on track to go back to school second semester.
Thank you, Thomas. Terry, how were the medical reports this last week?
Just like you said, really, really good.
The counts are great. All of them? Good. Okay. Well, Thomas, we'll just continue to be in prayer. They just get better and better. And that's really wonderful. And Tish, have you heard anything from the doctor on?
No, maybe in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. Last week, we have John come back with us from Tucson. He's here doing some work. And got to talk about the Risley Ministry, how he and Larry run the vehicle down to Mexico and deliver it and all these things. But I hope he doesn't mind. But I just got to share with you. I tell you what, we could sit in their church and they could sit here and we just mingle. I mean, it's just as amazing how close in fellowship all of our churches are. But you've never met a finer woman than Jeanette, his wife. I mean, she is a doll. Now, she's a little short lady. She is responsible. They have repainted and floored cushions, everything. And she's really totally responsible. She's organized the garage sales. Is it still ongoing?
It's still ongoing.
Still ongoing garage sales. And she's just out there and working away on these things. And one night we were out, and you gotta know her to even appreciate what I'm getting ready to tell you. We're sitting at a dinner table. And listening, she's, you know, well, what'd you do and all that. And she said, well, I used to be a stripper. I mean, my mouth. I mean, I'd be like Edna. I used to be a stripper. I mean, you go. You know, it isn't that she's not beautiful. It's just, not you. And then she looked and she realized what I was thinking. Well, I mean, what are you thinking? Well, what was it, a magazine? And
yeah, she was stripping the covers off the magazine, the ones that didn't sell, and sending them back to the manufacturer so the distributor got the money back.
Ah, okay. So you stripped the cover off these magazines. And I went, oh, sure, Jeanette, sure. Get out of that one real quick. But, I mean, just a darling lady. And just so many stories. I'm sworn to secrecy on the bar fight, so I can't tell you about that. And but this lady is just one super, super lady. So please give her our regards. And John, glad to have you this week. Now, Romeo has gotten in touch with us, and his family is in need of prayer.
Also,
good.
Please be in prayer for Romeo and his family. They're all in the Philippines. So please be in prayer. Not Romeo, but his sons and grandsons are in the Philippines. So please be in prayer and for that family. Now, Monday, just this week, we got news that my son-in-law, Judah's son-in-law, married to her daughter, obviously, has been diagnosed with what they think is cancer in the kidney. So please be in prayer for Dennis Hensel. And they're going to go in and do a biopsy, just do all the things that they need to do, and then decide what type of procedure they're going to conduct on Dennis. He's 50. He's 50. And so please be in prayer for Dennis and you know, if it is cancer, that's the blob, or just a non-cancerous tumor, all those things they need to find out. So please be in prayer for Dennis at this time. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Find out if it's cancerous. Good. Yeah. All right. Okay. And her first name?
Elizabeth.
Let's be in prayer for Elizabeth. And do we know if Elizabeth's a believer or not?
Yes.
Okay. And that God will use it to whatever He's doing in her family and her own life. Yes, sir.
I have some Thanksgiving. We've been praying for
Yes. Yes. Good.
This is way faster than they thought would happen. He gave up. He knew he had to be homeschooled for a few months. But he's back in school now. He has a cane that he walks around with for his balance. And then he has to wear sunglasses outside. But, I mean, he's still being watched. And he's still being prayer that he nothing happens, I guess. Nothing crazy happens. But right now he is doing very well. And his girlfriend, Bianca, who y'all have met, she's doing really well right now.
Good. Let's continue to be in prayer then, and each day here gain his strength back. Okay, any other prayer requests? Yes.
If we could I know it's probably on your prayer request list already, but I'm just asking you to keep top of mind these kids that we are touching on a weekly basis. I wish I had a tape recorder in my living room every Wednesday night for you guys to hear the kind of questions these kids are asking.
Wow.
Thinking through, and I mean, some of them were outside thinking, exactly. Some of them were outside, and one of the kids said, you know, I saw a shirt where 53, don't get me lying about what I'm about to say, 53 countries, you know, God is not, is illegal or something like that, whatever the shirt said. And then it spurred on the conversation about how, as your prayer was this morning, how rare what we are doing is going to be in our country.
Oh. Very rare.
They totally understand that.
Wow.
And, you know, they're very in tune to the rapture and what.
Wow.
And wanting to understand more about between now and then.
Beautiful.
Please, and there's kids that have no exposure to any other Christianity understanding whatsoever, and then there's many that have a lot of baggage. So, you know, a lot of mixed up confusion, but they're really honing in.
Okay.
And you know that means that they're going to get it somewhere else.
That is so good. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. I just am so very pleased with what is going on at the Wise's house on Wednesday and the Dave's house on Thursday. Now, Chris, tell us what's going to happen right after this class.
So right after church, after Irma's done, we'll right into the presentation. We would like to propose a schedule and like to present to our church family what we would like to do next year or the next 12 months, which includes all of the support that we're going to need. So we're going to put it out there and have some open conversation around what we're willing to support and what we're not, and then we're going to start moving forward based on that conversation. So
okay.
Everybody. everybody to stay and talk and see what we have planned. This youth ministry is our ministry as a church, and I think that it's important to understand what we'd like to do.
People, I used to talk about the hope of America. Let's talk about the hope of the body of Christ. Forget a country. And I love America, but let's forget a country. Talk about the body of Christ. It's dependent on these young people to carry on the banner, the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel. This is what's online. I mean, we know traditional America is online, but far more important is the body of Christ, the glorification of Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ is what's on the board here. So I'm just so thankful for what's going on. And Chris sometimes talks to me, well, they're not coming to the church and that. I'm not concerned about that. If they're getting the truth at these two houses on Wednesday and Thursday night, I don't care. It's not about Spring Valley Bible Church. It's about them getting the truth of the gospel and the gospel message and these kind of things. So please be in prayer for our young people that meet at the Wises on Wednesday, the Dags on Thursday, and then those that do come here. Be in prayer for us. Be in prayer for this assembly. So please hang loose. Cowboys don't play today. And the Rangers don't continue their run to the World Series till later this evening. So just hang loose a few moments. And because, people, this is your future. This is your future. This is our future of the church, these young people. So please bear that in mind. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but not only that, knows how to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, be led of the Holy Spirit in regard to giving. One of our great pleasures, it was well-pleasing to God to save people through the foolishness of the gospel of Christ crucified. And that same word for well-pleasing is used of us in regard to our giving. This is something that I want to have a part of the young people. I want to have a part of the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel in this assembly. I want to have a part of these things. This is what's really important. I think I told you last week, we went to see a Dolphin's Tale. Wonderful movie. The end of the movie, a guy comes up and offers just a tremendous amount of money and land right by the coast, all this stuff, so that they could continue a fish type of aquarium thing there. And people, that's wonderful. But we're talking here something that relates time and eternity. We're not just talking about pets and things like that are wonderful. We're talking about something that touches time and eternity in regard to the spreading of the gospel and being a witness of Jesus Christ. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, as we move into this segment of worship, it is our custom to remember the two great spheres of freedom that cross each other, that this may occur. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. The freedom to do with our lives as we see fit, our time as we see fit, our money as we see fit. To go to a church or not go to a church. And if we go to a church, the church of our choice. Marry whom we choose. Live where we choose. Wonderful freedoms we enjoy in this country. And Father, we're grateful to the men and women who have provided this freedom through the history of our country. But Heavenly Father, we cross this with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free. Through the person and work of Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. where to go to church and why that church, whom to marry and why that person, what to do with our time and why, what to do with our money and why. Freedom has great responsibilities. And it's because of our freedom we have in Christ that sheds a light on what to do with our money and our time, not just squander it away, not just give it away, but to use it in regard to the glory of Christ. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, through the spreading of His Word, teaching of the Gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Brian and Wes. Yes, sir. Yep, got to be prayer. We'll just call this person a friend of the church. And this person has cancer all through their body. So please be in prayer. Just a friend of the church. Now, a lot of you were able to come to camp this last summer and see it and be a part of it. But I want to tell you it's kids. I mean, my goodness. If they listed their main interest, number one, the water. I mean, it was the water. Number two was the eating. Oh, yeah, the teaching. See? And we're just so happy. Now, in order to have the water thing, to be able to swim and to get on the blob and you jump and you go out there and then somebody jumps, if you know about these things, you're way out at the end and then somebody jumps and woo, you go up in the air and it just was a lot of fun. But in order to do all this, somebody has to be in charge of security, of lifeguarding and all that. And Laura's dad, Larry's with us. Larry, we're glad to have you here this morning. So you survived, huh? All right, good. Lifeguard Larry. All right, I like that. Cause you went home after that and did some lifeguarding in the Houston area, right? All right. Well, that is super. Now, are we going to see you there in this next year? Yeah, we want that creek to rise. All right. But it was a lot of fun. And see who could be up the highest and all of these type of things. And Chris nearly killed his own son. And his son goes, woo! But I said, as long as you're keeping the family, you can't sue the church. So that's Oh. Well, Larry, we're glad to have you. This morning. No. Well, to me, the most exciting thing, you got to jump from up here down on top of the blob, and you could slide off. And I didn't want to slide off. That's embarrassing. So I was really concerned about jumping just right, and that was a piece of cake. It was the easiest thing of the whole deal. But it took me forever to crawl from this end of the blob out to here. I was hooching. And I got the turtle. Got the turtle award. Took all the kids going. That was fun. Supposed to turn a turtle over so it's on warm. All right, let's open the Bibles to Psalm 31. I'm often accused of most of my teaching kind of theological, not a whole lot of practical, although I think we do a great deal of practical theology with SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, love one another, so many different things, but I don't know of any study that is more pertinent to every one of us every day than what we're in right now. This little package. And I want to talk to Jim Langston about having one disc that'll cover Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5, and Psalm 31. Christ said you're going to have tribulation. And people, it hurts. It can be financial. It can be cancer, illness, sicknesses. It can be things related to your marriage, to your life, addictions. There's just so many words that we could use for tribulation, suffering, heartache, and just all these things. And that's what Christ told us. You're going to have those all through your life. You're not going to escape them. And I try to make a point that unbelievers have these things just like believers do. And a multitude, nearly all believers make it. Unbelievers, they'll make it. And you'd make it too. Making it is not the issue. It's making it where we give honor and glory and praise to Jesus Christ. And when you're on the other end of it, you are far better off than you were at the beginning. There are many unbelievers and believers who will go through a crisis, but they're no better off at the end of the crisis than they were at the beginning. They just made it. In fact, sometimes they're worse off. So what we're looking at is making it in a way that glorifies the Lord. Little problems, big problems. Some that come on quickly and leave quickly. Some that linger and linger and linger and get worse and worse financially. Health, relationships, all these things that we have to deal with. And people, it has nothing to do with American society. This is true all the way through history. I mean, we could start off circa 2000 B.C., Job. I mean, he just was in anguish after anguish. It was brought on by his friends, and we're going to see that in this psalm. Your friends can cause you a great deal of suffering, great deal of torment. We're going to see where we hurt. We hurt in our soul. The body has its pain, but the real pain and hurt of a lot of things is in the soul. So here, what happens inside? Effect on your brain. Effect on your emotions of adversities and tribulations. And these are the things we're looking at in our study. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself. See if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher of this passage. Let's pray. We are so thankful that we have a sovereign God, creator of the universe, creator of this earth, creator of our own souls, to turn to when we hurt. And to experience your love that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. Causes us, Heavenly Father, to be able to go through tribulations, things we don't even understand, and give you honor and glory. And Father, we pray your Spirit will open our eyes this morning to things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what we're doing is we're looking at Romans chapter 5, 3, 4, and 5, that long list of things. And we're relating it to our study in Psalm 31. When we finish Psalm 31, I'll give you just a little handle on how to read through a whole section of Psalms when you are in tribulation, when you hurt, when you're discouraged, when your life isn't going the way you want, and to be edified by the reading of Scripture. How to look at various Psalms and be able to extract from them some strength from the Word of God. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at Romans 5 and relating it to Psalm 31. And what we're looking at is that the first part of the prayer, the psalmist determines where he will turn in tribulation. And people, this is crucial. This is crucial. You get a call. Your child just died on the highway. You've just been diagnosed with cancer. You've just had this happen or that happen. And on and on and on. Where are you going to turn? Or if it's a slow developing thing. See, some things come in and hit us blindsided. Some things we just see it. Just day in and day out. And it's going to get worse and we know it. Where are you going to turn? Where are you going to turn for help? And when I say help, I don't mean a bank loan. I mean help for your soul. Help for your own emotional, mental, spiritual stability. Through all of this, where are you going to turn? So he's already made up his mind. He will turn to the Lord. verses 1 and 2. Now, where we are, we're looking at the second part where he speaks of his confidence in his prayer. People, he is confident in his prayer in the midst of tribulation. And this is very important in your own life, in your own relationship. We're going to turn to the Lord. Are you confident in him? Do you have confidence in what he's going to do? Why he's going to do it? Well, that's what we're looking at. And we've moved now to thundering verse 3. We're just blazing along here in verse 3. But I do want to take time for two words in verse 3. Verse 1, in thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. I've made up my mind where I'm going. I'm going to the Lord. I'm not going to man. I'm not going to philosophy. I'm not going to counseling. I'm not going to go to psychoheresy. I'm not going to go to this or that. I'm not going to go to the bottle. I'm not going to go to drugs. I'm going to take refuge in the Lord. Let me never be ashamed. Remember in Romans 5? And hope does not disappoint or make ashamed. In thy righteousness deliver me. Got to know the basis of on which God is going to deliver. I don't deserve being delivered. This is happening because I've done something bad. Get all of that out of your soul. That's not God. You have tribulation. Jesus Christ said so. I mean, I'm going to babble like a fool. If you never sin, you'd still have tribulation. I mean, my goodness, they crucified Jesus Christ. So, take it from there. You're going to have it. It's not because you sinned or failed and God's getting you. What kind of God is that? Verse 2. Incline thine ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be thou to me a rock of strength. Where are you going to go for your strength? A stronghold to deliver me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake, thou wilt lead and guide me. Now, I want you to know, before we look at something here, it's going to be because of his name. It's not because of you, people. And people, that's a wonderful thing. You know, Father, I don't deserve it. It's not like I've been real good. It's not like I give all the money, or I do this, or I witness to 5 people a day, and on and on and on. No, I don't deserve it. It's for your name's sake. I trust in you. Your name's on the counter now. Your name spotlighted. I'm trusting you, and the angels are watching. And man, are you going to perform when you are trusted? See, that's what's going on. Now we come to something we all want in tribulation: leading and guiding. What do I do? You know, I don't know about you, so I won't say Chris. Say me. There are times throughout my life, many, I wish God would just call me on the phone and tell me what to do, and I'd go do it. I want to. Yes, this is Herman, God. Huh? Yeah, okay, you got it. I'm doing it. Bye. And I go do it. You want me to do what? See? Okay. See? He leads and he guides. But what we're going to do is spend a few moments in time of tribulation being led and being guided. What's going on with these two words? Okay. First thing you want to know about divine guidance in time of tribulation is that God guides and leads for His sake, His glory. Now, what I want you to look at is we have two different words, lead and guide. I put them on the Hebrew up here, transliterated, so you'll see that they are entirely different words. Lead me is the hiphil imperfect of naka. Guide me, pl imperfect of nahal. Okay, the first word, lead me, and people, let me just tell you this. I've read every one of my lexicons, even some lexicons and some programs I have, trying to grasp the difference in lead and guide. And the lexicons, they strive at it. But they just didn't grab hold where we could do it. And so what I had to do is to pull from my major in college, and that's economics. And I just went back and I decided, here's what's going on. I hope this communicates to you. It's just my way of communicating it. But I think you'll get the idea, even if it doesn't communicate. And the first word, lead me, is like macro guidance. Macro guidance. Guide me is micro guidance. Now, macro guidance is the large picture. It's the overall picture of what's going on. It's the goals, the overall objectives. The whole system of divine guidance in the interrelationship with all of its other parts. Now, then you come to guide me. See? Guide, as we're going to see, is going to deal with the smaller parts. But the macro, the large overall, the interrelations of the parts and divine guidance. And please know right from the start that God's objective, God's goal in divine guidance is His glory. What I'm telling you is this. You've got your problems, your tribulation, your suffering. They may be of the same category somebody else is, but they're yours. They're personal. And where He's going to lead all believers who go to Him, to His glory, His plan. That's the macro. Where are we going to go in this whole trip? We're going to glorify God in this whole trip. And then they have the micro. What we're going to see with the micro is that you personally. That you individually. See? Take, for example, a doctor. I've got two people with cancer. Overall objective, cancer-free. Your cancer, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do this. Your financial problem, the overall objective, make you financially stable. With this one, we're going to have to do this, and this, and this. Same goal. This one, we're going to do this, and this, and this. So when God guides us, it's individual, and I'll show you that in the text. But it's getting you to the overall objective of His glory. So the macro objective of divine guidance is not just getting through your tribulation at any cost. You know, at any cost, you know what? I could solve my problems if I just murdered this person. And there are people who do that. Well, most of us know that isn't going to work. That's not a good option. So it's not at any cost. So we know better. So God is going to deliver us through the tribulation in such a way that glorifies Him. Now, guide me refers to micro guidance. Refers to the individual areas, individual people in your life, individual in their lives. Macro guidance involves the glory of God. Micro guidance involves each individual. It involves you personally. Okay, let's take a look at lead me. Lead me. Macro guidance, this is more than just guidance. This is out of a lexicon. It's God's overall goal in leading you. Objective in mind. His righteousness, His glory demonstrated in history through you. Now to see this, look at Psalm 23:3. Just go back a few pages. 23:3. I want you to see it. Because we have both of these Hebrew words in this beautiful psalm that most of you are familiar with. So Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. People, He's going to guide us all in righteousness for His name's sake. Now, the guidance for you and for me is going to be different. But the overall journey is we're going in the same objective. Another way of looking at this is in a war. You've got the overall objective is where the enemy is in this area. And so we're going to go in. But your infantry, your armor, your Air Force, So you're going to be directed differently in this overall objective. So the macro leading is for the total victory. In this case, the glorifying of the Lord. Now, to lead as troops, so that's what I've got there. The body of Christ is an army. We are here to glorify God, be a witness of God, all these types of things. This is the macro leading of us. Point two. Your tribulations, your suffering, so on, are for the glory of God, not for your glory. One of the worst things we can do in a crisis situation like these, get our eyes on ourselves. Get our eyes on our crisis. People, you got to keep your eyes on Him. Got to keep your eyes on Him. The foot soldier in war. War is really changing from the days of World War II and the Korean War. It's really changing a lot. But in that old ideal of it, the foot soldier, he just struggles through in the ditches, in the dirt. He eats food with rainwater raining in it, raining in his food. Sleeps on the ground. Sleeps with bombs firing all around him. Maybe he didn't even really know the overall picture. All he knows is, this is what I got to do. But you see, the macro, the leading, is leading toward that ultimate objective. And then point three. To lead according to His plan. His overall plan. Now, in your sufferings, there's a whole more than just you that is going on. You're not always even the primary issue. You may think you are, and you're the one hurting, you're the one suffering, but I got news for you. Sometimes it's not about you. It's not even about you. You're involved. But it's really not just about you. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord isn't directly dealing with young Thomas, but look how many people have been involved. His mother, his dad, he was just lying there. We didn't know what was going to happen. It was about his mom, his dad, his family. It was about this church going down there to the hospital, praying while he was in ICU. People, God's got an overall plan. That's the leading. And I want to be led for that. You're in a battle. I don't want to be over here. I want to be in line of where the battle is. That's the leading of the Lord. So whatever He's going to do when you're going through your tribulation, it is going to be for His glory. Now, four. The Hebrew word is in the hiphil. I have to point it out for you. Why? That's causative. God's plan for you when you're in tribulation is the cause of the direction you are going to be led. He's got a plan. Here's the plan. Just go back to the military situation. Taking that hill. That's the overall plan. Where you fit in all of this, everything's going to lead toward that. And you've got to be able to understand that when you're in a tribulation, people. When you're in adversity. I don't care if it's your fault. I don't care if it's somebody else's fault. I don't care if it's God. I don't care if it's Satan. I don't care if it's sin. I don't care where it's coming from. It doesn't matter. As I told you when we studied tribulation. You go into the doctor with a gunshot wound, he's not going to ask you, well, now, is this friendly fire or self-induced or enemy fire? It doesn't matter. He's going to take care of it. So we've got an overall objective. We're being led when we go through our crisis situation. So God causes you to be led in such a way as per His overall plan. Point five. This word emphasizes the overall spiritual warfare that we are all in. And people, it is severe. Your tribulation is real and severe to you. It may not be to somebody else. But it is to you. A humorous example. Tucson Bible Church. They were in prayer meeting. Going around a big circle. And one guy just, he offered his prayer. And then pretty soon people were coming off with some pretty heavy stuff. And he raises and says, I take back my prayer request. It doesn't matter compared to what everybody else is asking. Yes, it does. It's what you're going through. It's your part in this glory, in this battle we're in. That's why we need to pray for one another, people. Don't sit there and judge others. Well, I can't believe they can't handle that. I mean, my goodness. Look what Terry and Rick are handling with Tom, and they can't handle that. I don't know. People, you're wrong. You're wrong to judge when people are going through battles, tribulations. Don't do that, please. Cut yourself off from judging. Who set you up as a judge? How people ought to handle crisis. How people ought to handle things. You pray for them. That's what you do. You encourage them. And then six, you are, or in the battle, there is an overall objective, and there is an overall spiritual objective in regard to everything that happens in your life, and people, I mean everything. Little crisis, big crisis. Six, you are led in such a way where God is glorified and you are blessed. That's the issue that's going on with this study. Now, let's take a look at guide me. That's the second word. It's a beautiful word. Now we're getting down to you. Getting down to you personally. Individually. Micro guidance. This directly involves you. See, macro, leading toward the glory of God. Guiding involves you personally. What God has in store for you personally in this battle. This word is to point to. This word is often related with a shepherd in the lexicons, the dictionaries. Leads a sheep with tender care and love. He cares about each and every one of the sheep. He goes after one who goes astray. He leaves the flock and goes after one. That's the context of this word being translated to guide. It's individual. It's care. It's love. It's tenderness. All of these things. So the shepherd leads with temporary goals that fit into the macro guidance, the overall plan of where you're going. Let's look at Psalm 23:2. We looked at Psalm 23:3 for the macro. Now look at Psalm 23:2, and I think you'll be able to pick up. You know, there is a difference in these words. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me, this is our word, guided in our study, beside quiet waters. See, this is personal. This is daily care. This is what we need in a moment-by-moment basis. It's where He just guides me. So, Psalm 23:2, He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 2, in Psalm 23, micro-guidance. He leads me beside still waters. Refreshment along the way. This is the Word of God. Taking in the Word of God. Verse 3, macro guidance. He guides me in the path of righteousness, or that leads to righteousness. He's going to do every one of us that way, people. Every one of us are going to be led in paths of righteousness. Now, the guidance throughout the day will vary with each one of us. 3, the Hebrew word to guide means to guide with care. The right speed. The proper manner for the circumstances of your crisis, for where you are in the midst of your tribulation. Some people it's one speed, another person's another speed. People, God knows your heart. God knows your circumstances. God knows your hurt. And He's going to lead you according to where you are. He will take you by the hand and gently guide you. Sometimes He'll have you jogging a little bit through it. Sometimes just sit. Just sit by the still waters. Now get up and let's walk. Double time. Stop. Double time. Now, what are we doing in all of this? It's the macro, going toward that goal of the glory of God. But the guiding is us individually each day. He cares about us each day. The right things to say. The right things to do. What spiritual love looks like at this point in your crisis. What spiritual love looks like to you and coming from you at this particular moment in your life. He cares so much, people, about us individually. He guides each one of us individually, leading us all to His glory. But each one of us in our own life. In our own track. This is a beautiful, rich word of guidance of God. Wisdom befitting the circumstance. Sometimes I teach. Somebody comes up. Boy, this was this and that. And I go, that was not even a major point. Did you see what I was really getting at? Oh, yeah. Okay. And then, oh, man, he missed all. No, they didn't. The Holy Spirit had me say that for that person. I have a big thing in mind. That little thing was what they needed. He takes us by the hand. He cares, people. He cares. He's going to guide you in His wisdom and in His love. And point four, it has the ideal of guiding by the hand. And this is right out of a lexicon, dictionary. To take by the hand and guide one who is helpless and who needs to be guided. And people, this is the humility of walking by faith. There's an old gospel hymn that my wife and I absolutely love. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Can't even move without you holding my hand. This is the guidance, people. I know where we're headed. We're headed for the top of that hill. But I'm down here in the trenches. I need you to guide me the next step. Because I don't even want to take it. They're shooting fire darts. They're shooting all this stuff. Tribulation's getting tough. I need you to take me by the hand and guide me on that overall objective. See? So this is what we're talking about. Our conclusion on leading and guiding. This is the conclusion. One, macro guidance. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, we've dealt with that Greek word. It's a difficult word to translate. It's a difficult word because it's a military term. It's straight from the military term, and it means to keep in direct step with the unit. Got to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. That's macro. Every one of us have to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Two, micro guidance, Galatians 5:18. Be led by the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you differently than He leads me. He'll lead you differently than He leads me. See? He's going to lead each one of us differently. But we're going to keep in step with Him. All of us, the whole church, going to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. But He's going to lead. He guide each one of us individually. Through our own crisis, through our own suffering, through the night, through the darkness. Point three, if we are in step with the Holy Spirit, He will lead us to glory and the righteousness of God. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, He will take us by the hand and guide us at each step of the way, in the darkest hour, in the brightness of the morning. He will pour His peace, joy, and love into us. This is that individual guiding. Four, in both leading and guiding, we are in need of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. Let's look at Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 9. Psalm 119:9. How can keep his way pure? By keeping it in accordance to thy word. That's good. We need, every one of us need that. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, same chapter. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. People, you're not going to make it without the word of God. This is your food. When I say an army travels on its stomach, we travel on the soul. We travel on the word of God. Look at verse 50. 119:50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. People, I can't make it any clearer than that. You want to be revived, strengthened in tribulation, in suffering, adversity, financial, health, loneliness, whatever it hard, whatever it is, it's going to be in his word. It's going to be in his word. Look at verse 50 again. It's a powerful verse. This is my comfort and my affliction, that thy word has revived me. And one more, verse 105. 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's the divine guidance for you. Take his word, it guides you, you personally. You personally. We walk out of here after Chris Daigle's presentation. You'll go to your home, restaurant, work, wherever you go, whatever you do. Every one of us goes somewhere different. Unless you're married and you go husband, wife, but you get the idea. We all go somewhere differently. But you know what? The same Spirit guides us. The same word is a light into our path. It's different. It's different for each one of us, but we're all headed toward that same overall objective. So in time of tribulation, people, we are in desperate need of the power and leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We're needed of both of them. Now I'd like you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I thought about leaving this out, and I decided I cannot do it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading together in 2 Peter chapter 1. And remember, put all this in the context of tribulation, suffering, adversity, crisis. And when I give these kind of lists, I know I miss somebody. So I just say, and things like this. Just loneliness, despair, hopelessness, not knowing what to do, where to go, all these types of things. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace. You desire peace when you're in tribulation? Be multiplied. Not just given to you, people. Multiplied. Multiplied. You know what the best way I know how to say multiply is? From my childhood. It's the best way I know how to talk about it. Watching that dear old lady that reared me make a chocolate cake. It wasn't beautiful. It didn't just have a nice little crisp of chocolate all around. I mean, it just poured on. It just oozed all over. It just ran all over. Could rub your finger around the outside of the plate. I mean, that's a cake you get your mouth into. See? Not just some beautiful, nice little thin, little stingy layer of chocolate. I mean, it's just rich. Overwhelmed, multiplied in it. That's the kind of peace we can have, people. Not just a little bit, but poured on. Multiply to you. Now, where does it come from? You want peace and grace in your tribulation? Look what it says. in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. People, that's where it is. Compare this to John 17, verse 3 in the Lord's Prayer. What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing the true God, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And here with inner happiness, inner peace, and abundant grace in your life, not dependent upon your crisis being taken care of, not dependent upon removing the crisis, the tribulation, the cancer, the financial problems, or whatever. This peace is not dependent on that. It's dependent on you having the knowledge, occupation of Jesus Christ. Knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at verse 3. Seeing that His divine power, that's the Holy Spirit, has granted, graciously given to us. Okay, now pay attention. You believe the Word of God? We're going to find out if you believe the Word of God. Everything pertaining to life. Everything pertaining to godliness. People, that's a powerful statement. Do you believe that? Do you believe the knowledge of Jesus Christ and of God, in that He has given us everything necessary pertaining to life and to godliness? Look what it says. He repeats it. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. People, do you believe that? You have to answer this. Do you believe that God, through His Holy Spirit and through true knowledge of the Bible, has graciously given you everything you need in life? Is this book sufficient? Is this book complete for you? Or do you need outside? And everyone has to answer this themselves. This is where you get into guidance. You have to answer it yourself. Do you inwardly believe that, well, it really should include good finance. It really should include good health. It really should include, I need that for a good life. Do you believe that? Or do you believe that in this book is everything you need pertaining to life? And nobody can answer this but you. And you know what, people? The beautiful thing about this, you can't lie. The truth will come out. You can say it. But whether or not it's real inside of you will come out in tribulation. Is the Word of God, knowledge of Him, knowledge of Christ, sufficient for everything pertaining to life? Continuing verse 3. Seeing that His divine power, it's the Holy Spirit, has granted, graciously given to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through or by means of the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. I personally believe that if more believers saw this and believed this, there'd be more people, more believers in Bible studies. Note, it says, through the true knowledge of Him. In John 17:3, the knowledge of the true God. Here it's true knowledge of God. This means it's false knowledge of God. And boy, is there a lot of that going around. That's a disease going around, false knowledge of God. Everybody's going to be saved. False knowledge of God. He'll get you if you've done bad. He'll do this, He'll do that. People, we got to stay with this Word. So I encourage you, you find a church, I don't care if it's here, where you find a church where the Word of God is taught verse by verse, and the truth about God is brought out. The truth about Jesus Christ is brought out. Truth of Him. In life, especially in times of suffering and adversity, tribulation, people, you're going to want a church where the truth can be taught. It's tough to learn it in the battle, but sometimes, you know, that's the only time some people will learn. In good times, they're just out having a ball. They're out water skiing. They're having a great time. Then the crisis occurs. Now they want to go. That's fine. Some people learn that way. Some people learn why they're in the crisis. I think we all understand from a military standpoint, it's much better to learn how to shoot that rifle, how to crawl on the ground, how to maneuver with others in peacetime training than when you're actually being fired upon. But people, it's going to hit us. And you have to decide, where am I going to go? Is the Word of God sufficient for everything I need in life? Or do I need this and do I need that? Do I need entertainment? Do I need this and drugs and da-da-da-da-da? Or is this book sufficient? The knowledge of the true God, true knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. See? Now, we're in the second part of our psalm. As I told you last week, I want to finish it in one lesson. We're now in the second, and I've gotten through verse 3. So we've got to put this in gear. My wife and I are going to be gone the first Sunday of November and the second Sunday of November. We're going to take a trip to Israel. So I've got to finish this before I leave. And I told her, I said, I sure hope we're not doing this for what's coming up in Israel. But whatever, we're going to make it through this study on tribulation package from Romans 5 and Psalm 31. And then I want to show you how to look at other psalms when you're in the midst of tribulation. And please, if you ever, if I'm covering this, because I know, personally, this is where we live. This is not the rapture. This is not the millennium. This is not the tribulation. This is not the age of Israel. This is where we live every day. And if I'm not covering it, something you have in mind, or I've said something and you question, you wonder about, but what about? Just email me. And don't worry about me trying to figure out who it is. I wouldn't know how to figure out who it was. Man in the moon. I can't even tell. What time did they write? I don't know. But if you got a question, let me know. This is where you and I live. I'm taking it from the Bible and from my own experience related to this book. So if we're missing you in some way, let me know. I'll hit you. And if you don't let me know, the Holy Spirit will guide me to hit you. So we'll get you. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Now, Father, how grateful we are for this psalm, for this book. Every one of us experienced tribulations, difficulties, crises, sufferings, adversities, setbacks, bewilderment, wondering what in the world is going on. Why? How long? So, Father, we're so thankful for this book, for this chapter, and pray your Spirit will continue to open our eyes. And Father, we do need guidance. We need to be led. We know that. We trust your Spirit to guide us according to your plan and your glory. Father, I pray you take the things we've seen this morning and then become a reality in our soul and in our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Okay, now Chris is going to be talking to us in a few moments about our youth. So please, if you can at all, stay and see what's going on.